Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's Board of Public Works meeting. And before we get started on the official business for today, I'd like to take the moment and on behalf of our entire administration and frankly on behalf of our entire state to wish my friend and Maryland's 34th comptroller a very, very happy birthday.
Thank you.
We're celebrating another graduation of Robinson.
For our comptroller, and have a birthday on Valentine's Day is pretty awesome.
By the way, quick side note, and
we can include this in the meetings or in the minutes or not.
She's the fourth person I know to include actually our appointment secretary,
who has a birthday on Valentine's Day.
Yes, good Aquarians.
Good Aquarians. So I have no idea, like, what 9 months before Valentine's Day is going on.
Yes, dude. I just didn't realize it was such like an amorous day 9 months before Valentine's Day. But we celebrate you.
And
we're thankful for you. And with that, let's go ahead and
let's get started.
So the secretary, great to see you, and
please proceed.
See you, Governor. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. There are 22 items on the secretary's agenda and 3 reports of emergency procurements. Item 21 is a supplemental item. That is a settlement recommendation from the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services in the matter of Poole v. Bishop. Item 22 is a hand-carried item. That is the recommendation from the Department of Budget and Management to spend the remaining balance of the FY23 contingent fund on leave payouts in the executive board, department boards, commissions, and offices. Happy to assist with answering any questions.
Governor, I don't have any questions, but I would like to move to separate out item 20 from the rest of the agenda.
Thank you. And I'd like to call up item 11, which is a request from the Department of Natural Resources to approve a $9.1 million contract award to the Chesapeake Appreciation and Oyster Recovery Partnership for the purchase and collection of oyster substrate and planned hatchery reared oysters for the oyster reef construction and large-scale oyster restoration tributaries.
Very good, Governor. Mr. Secretary Kurtz.
Good morning, everyone. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Department of Natural Resources Secretary. Really excited to talk to you about item 11 today. When we look at what we've been doing as a state, this is something we should be truly proud of. This is meeting one of the Chesapeake Bay agreements we are on schedule to meet for 2025. The thing about this project that's so important is this isn't just significant for the state. This is a globally significant restoration project. It's the largest oyster restoration project on the planet. And this is going to be kind of taking us over the finish line here, getting the fifth tributary moving, reef planting some of the other initial tributaries. But the thing that I wanted to just let you all know is how successful it's been. When we look at the minimum threshold for oysters that was set, the goal for this project, we've met 99% of it across all of these tributaries. And not only we've met the minimum, we've gotten 77% of the way to the high threshold. So this has been successful in restoring oysters within our large-scale tributaries, and a project we're really excited about. Some of the partners who have worked on this, the Oyster Recovery Partnership, you just mentioned, Paul and Ward are here today. And it's been just an absolute success when you look at what's happened in Harris Creek, the Little Chop Tank, Tread Avon, the Upper St. Mary's, and soon to be the Minocqua.
Mr. Secretary, let me first start by saying congratulations on the confirmation and how excited all of us are to continue working with you. And also on this initiative in particular,
why this is so important, because this really is critical. It's critical to our state's efforts, our regional efforts to restore our entire oyster population. And that is going to be critical to restoring the health of the Chesapeake Bay. So
we really appreciate this. And we really appreciate you as well.
A comment on item 35 on the DGS agenda as well. Again, sticking with the oyster work, and this is really exciting, and this is kind of the next evolution, the next step forward for oyster abundance kind of recovery across the state. This project is focused in Eastern Bay. And what's great about this is we're looking at abundance across all three of the pillars of our restoration programming, which is the sanctuary restoration, which is the public shellfish areas, making sure that we've got a really abundant and healthy harvest area, and the aquaculture industry as well. So the goal of this is working with partners. We're bringing people together. Also, this is the result of legislation passed last year by the legislature, built on a process that brought people together to come up with solutions. And we really see this as a potential way for us to start really growing that abundance of our oyster population, doing it with all three of our really critical components, the industry side, the aquaculture side, and the restoration side.
Are there any other questions from colleagues?
Not the secretary, but I, at the appropriate time, I'd like to comment on items 19 through 21 of the secretary's agenda. I'm supporting each of these items, but
I'm going to recuse myself if we're going to discuss 20. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
On advice of counsel, I'm just recusing myself while we discuss item 20.
This won't be long. I'm just being a grumpy old man. For those of you who are regular attendees here, and I'm certainly, this does not fall on the current administration, which has been here less than a month. But in general, those of you who've been around know that I question settlements quite frequently. This is a case, I mean, we're talking about the Department of Corrections. I've heard from various advocacy organizations and so forth about how underfunded the department is, how there's need for more. And I get it that this is arguably, after the chief executive of the state, the hardest job or one of the hardest jobs in the state to fulfill. It does require extraordinary patience and tolerance. But when I look at some of the things that are going, when I read the details of the settlement, we're about to pay $132,000 for no really good reason. I mean, yeah, for no really good reason. It's warranted, and it certainly saved the state a lot of money, which is why I'm supporting it. But as a workforce, as individuals, we have to be mindful that there are certain standards that we have to adhere to, and that we have to show restraint even when provoked. Otherwise, we're in a situation like this. Here we are a month and a half into the new year. We're on pace for just this one agency to pay over $750,000 in settlement. That's the pace that we're on. And that's money that could stay, and it comes out of the agency's budget. So when we say we need more money for corrections, thinking if we can just keep and use some of the money we already have, you know, it may lessen the need. And again, it's for things that I would say we all would. I'm going to leave that part alone. I'll just say this.
It's a fair point.
If we just, you know, exhibit the standards that we all expect of public employees, myself included, there's a lot of money that could remain in this agency to carry out the will. And the agency's budget shouldn't become basically a slush fund to pay out for misbehavior. And then we have organizations that have a vested interest in this complaining about there's not enough money in the budgets for salaries and so forth. So I'll end it here, but I would just say to those people, you know, right now we're on a pace to spend over $750,000 on settlements in one agency alone. Thank you.
Very firm one.
Mr. Treasurer, if I may recommend a vote on item 20 before the comptroller returns.
Yes. Yeah, I would like to do that. And before we call for the point, very fair point. And I
would agree with you also that it's not exclusive to
one. I think there's a broader conversation.
Absolutely.
That's only to take place as you're right, as we've seen in our first 3 weeks of office.
So yes, Secretary Guntram, I think we can call for the vote on item 20. Is there a motion
to approve?
So moved.
I will second the motion and I will vote yes. The vote in two is in the affirmative and none of the negative, and with
one recusal. So I think we can invite the comptroller.
You tried to lower your salary.
I know you wouldn't let them do that. No, you wouldn't let them do that.
So maybe we can move now back to DNR real property agenda.
We can hold that.
Okay, great. So next up is University System of Maryland agenda.
Governor, I apologize. We just need to vote on the remainder of the secretary's agenda. So we have vote on item 20, but the balance of the agenda requires a vote.
Perfect. Sorry. Motion to approve on the remainder of the agenda.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
So next up, we'll go on to the university
system. And good morning, Mr. Hickey. Good to see you.
Good morning, Mr. Treasurer. I'm Madam Comptroller Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are three items on the agenda for your consideration. With me today is the president of Salisbury University, Dr. Carolyn LaPree, who's here to support item 2C. And I think she'd like to speak to you if you allow that.
Please. Good morning, Governor Moore, Comptroller Learman, and Treasurer Davis. I am honored to be standing before you today at my first Board of Public Works meeting in support of the Blackwell Hall renovation project at Salisbury University. This project was added to the CIP long before I became president, but I thought it was important enough for me to come in person for this item because I believe that the project represents how well we steward state funds. Blackwell Hall, which is our former library, opened in 1957, and since that time has served tens of thousands of students who attended SU. We were fortunate enough to open a new library in 2016, thanks to the support of the legislature and this board. And we have since used Blackwell as flex space while we waited on the renovation. When the project is complete, the Blackwell renovation will co-locate our most important student services, such as our student health center, our counseling center, and the registrar, into one central facility so that students can more easily locate and utilize the resources that will help them be successful and graduate on time. We are proud that we have the second highest 4- and 5-year graduation rates among the highest retention rates in the USM system of Maryland. This fall, we also welcomed the most racially diverse freshman class in the university's history. The changing demographics of our students, coupled with the lingering effects of the pandemic, mean that we must do more to ensure that our students can be successful and point them to the resources that allow them to do just that. If a family trusts us enough to send their student to SU, we want to make sure that we're providing them with the high quality education that they expect and giving them the tools to be successful. We do not want to want students leaving without their degree and saddled with debt, which is why, in addition to our graduation and retention rates, we're proud that our students graduate the second lowest amount of debt in the entire University System of Maryland. I'm fortunate to be here to speak with you today, and I thank you for your support of education in general. Thank you for the support of our students, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have for me.
I don't have questions, President LaPree, but I do have praise. What you all are doing at Seattle Nation is remarkable. And when we talk about what are some of the true assets of our state, you all have been one of the true assets of our state. You know, one thing I just want to make a point for everybody here that the university was named the nation's number one master's level producer of Fulbright students in the master's Carnegie classification of 22-23. And for the sixth consecutive year has been named amongst the top Fulbright student producers in the United States. And so I just want to say congratulations to you all for that, because that is a remarkable achievement and something that the entire state should be very, very proud of.
Thank you very much, Mr. Governor.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions on the USM agenda?
I just want to comment. Mr. Hickey, thanks. I just want to comment on the, that's a question and a comment, I guess, about the sustainability goals. So I appreciate that USM's, all of your projects in here contain information about the sustainability and your compliance with the Maryland State High Performance Green Building Program. And just wanted to note that it's important information and appreciate you including that and hope that you'll continue to do that. And always feel free to even provide more detail, but really appreciate it. Thank you.
I credit former Treasurer Kopp for that. She really pushed us to contain this information in our items.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. May I have a motion to adjourn the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you. Before we move on to MDOT, I just want to go back now to the real property agenda, if that's okay. So, Secretary Kurtz, back to you again.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, happy birthday, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I am Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. Today, the department is presenting 8 agenda items for your consideration. We do have agency representatives available if there are any questions.
I have no questions.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second? Secretary.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. Congrats again. Next up, going to MDOT. And we'd like to have Deputy Secretary Powell. It is good to see you again, sir.
You as well, sir. Good morning, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. As the Governor mentioned, I'm Sean Powell, Deputy Secretary for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we're presenting 13 agenda items. We are withdrawing item 5. The agenda includes 3 awards to certified minority and small businesses valued at nearly $2.1 million. Additionally, 2 of our items on the DGS agenda up for consideration today are being awarded to certified minority and small business enterprises, and they total a little over $11 million. So we're proud that that thing is moving along in both directions. We do have representatives available here or on the line if you have any questions. And I turn it back to you, sir.
Very proud of that fact as well, and well done.
We were looking at our agenda yesterday and doing our review, and like, wait a minute, we're not highlighting the things that we have on other agendas as well, so we wanted to make sure that we brought it out.
Yes.
We're glad you are. Thank you so much.
Are there any questions on the MDOT agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thank you. So at this time, I'd like to ask Lieutenant Governor Miller to take over and preside over the remainder of the meeting as I finalize all my arrangements to establish a blind trust to prevent any financial conflicts during my tenure as governor. My team and I have been in regular consultation with the Ethics Commission to ensure that we follow the spirit and the letter of the laws, and therefore I'm heeding their advice and counsel and recusing myself from the discussion and vote of one of the items in the DGS agenda, and we'll turn it over to our fantastic Lieutenant Governor and my partner in governing for the portion and for the remainder of the meeting. So thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, members of the cabinet and guests and our press. Good morning. My name is Aruna Miller. I'm thrilled to be here. So at this point, I'd like to go ahead and conclude the Department of General Services agenda. Secretary Chaudhry.
Thank you very much, Madam
Lieutenant Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I am Atif Chaudhry, Acting Secretary of the Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 52 items on the agenda. We are withdrawing items 31C. The agenda features $17 million in capital grants and loans, including $2 million to support renovations for the MedStar Franklin Square Hospital Center, and $3 million to the Waterfront Partnership of Baltimore for renovations at Rashfield at Inner Harbor. We have agency representatives here and online to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Any questions? Okay. So it's my understanding that Delegate Chris Tomlinson is joining us today to speak in support of the 23 CGL. Is Delegate Tomlinson here? No?
I'm not saying
it's session down.
You think they're in session?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, any discussions on the DGS agenda?
I think I just have to give a shout out to a couple of the bond bills that were passed in my former district last year for my city, which is an amazing organization doing. Since 2018, they've distributed over 180 million pounds of food to families, and they're in composting too, and of course, Waterfront Partnership. So It's exciting to go from General Assembly seat to this seat and see the money actually getting out there. And I'm excited to work with DGS and the board up here to streamline the capital grants and loans project process even more so that we can make it easier for our nonprofits to get those, to gain access to those LBIs, that actual funding. So thank you. Thanks, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Comptroller. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you all very much for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday, March 1st. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.